Gnade sei mit euch und Friede von Gott, unserem Vater und dem Herrn Jesus Christus. Ich sage Dankeschön für jeder Mann, der gekommen ist. Ich möchte diese Stunde ein Segen sein zu uns alle. Ich möchte Gott dadurch die Ehre kriegen. Und mit dort werden wir anfangen mit mir beten. Himmlischer Vater, wir kommen für dein Angesicht von erstem Mal. Wir danken dir für diese Gelegenheit, was du uns gegeben hast, dass wir dein Wort aufmerken zu uns und verantwortlich halten zu dort, was du uns geschrieben hast. Herr Gott, wir sind dir dankbar, dass dein Wort da ist, um uns durch das Leben zu leiten. Das muss gesund sein für uns und auch eine Ehre sein zu dir. Herr, wir beten im Himmel von uns alle. Sehen du uns, wir beten noch für die Einsamen, die vielleicht nicht gesund sind, die betreut sind, die in der Hospital sind. Sehen du uns alle, wir beten dit in Jesus' Namen. Amen. Wir wollen hoffen mit ein paar Leuten.
Let's take our red hymnals and turn to page 248. Jesus, keep me near the cross. Jesus, keep me near the cross. There's a precious fountain, free for all a healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain. In the cross, be my glory ever, till my wretched soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross, a trembling soul, love and mercy found me. There the
361, take time to be holy.
Dankeschön für die zwei Leute. Wo ist also die Gemeinschaft mit Gott? In der ersten Petrusbuch, was Petrus so geschrieben hat, wir wissen, dass er schrift dort die Menschen, wo die lebenden Menschen sind. Wir wissen auch, dass die Menschen, die Hand Sie sind im Leiden. Und das Leiden ist, wenn den Glauben, was sie mit sich mit dir antun. Diese Menschen, die sind nicht zu Hause, wo der erste, was wir lesen haben, in 1. Petrus 1, Vers 1. Petrus, Jesus Christus, sein Apostel, schriftet an alle Christen, die in Pontus, Galatien, in Kappadokien, in Asien und Bithynien verstreut sind. So leben ist schwer für diese Menschen. Aber der Apostel Paulus, Petrus von Hethäen geschrieben hat, dann habt ihr ein Denken, was sie an Christus sind und auch was sie und auch was sie hat als Christen in Jesus Christus. Und dann geht er wieder und dann sagt er auch, wo wir als Christen uns zu drehen haben, beten mag. Und wir können das von der Smart sagen, dass wir untereinander. Aber auch, wenn sie in ihrer Hieser, ein Mann, der andere Hieser wohnt, denen wird, was er nicht Christen sind. Und auch wenn wir den Brief lesen, dann fangen wir an, da ist ein Brief ähnlich, was er alle wen mal posten hat. Nicht nur bloß Christen, was er leiden tun, für ihr Glauben, aber auch für die, was er nicht leiden tun, auch sondern was er nicht leiden tun. Wenn wir die Schrift lesen, dann fangen wir an, wo Gott noch seine Menschen reden hat, seine Menschen, was am Hand versprechen, am Not fallen. Wir wissen, dass das doch kein Geheimnis ist, dass Gott seine Menschen, die fehlt auch halb. Wir wissen, dass wenn Menschen im Leiden sind, wenn du Menschen sind, die uns ähnlich wollen, merken, überfallen, dann ist es nötig, dass wir Gott denken tun. Weil dann kommt, wo es sehr leicht ist, dass einer kann ähnlich überrascht kann. You know, wenn Gott Satan den die Gelegenheit geben, dass er können proben, hier weiterwängen von seinem abrechten Leben, was ist das, was der Satan dann denkt, oder was er dann plant, was er wird tun. Und wir möchten sagen, dass er, was er tut, wir haben hier auf seinem Leben so schwer, als er mehr kann. Er wird seine Gesundheit verdorben, er wird all sein Haben gut wahrnehmen, und wir wissen auch, doch wenn das passieren wird, zu einem Mann, der befreit ist, dann liegt, wenn die früh das nicht alle durchleiden wird, doch ist es sehr schwer ohne Früh. Wir wissen auch, dass wenn diese Dinge passiert werden zu Hiob, dann sagt Hiob seine Früh zu ihm in Hiob Kapitel 2, Vers 9, dann kam seine Frau noch hier ab und sagte, warst du nicht auch noch einmal so ein trüchhortet Mensch blieben? Pflegt Gott einmal ut und dann starb. Wir wissen noch, dass es ein Handel wäre, wo sie uns in eine Probe stellen. Und wir wissen, dass ein von den Wehen ist, you know, wenn alles gut gehen wird im Leben. Und ich glaube, wir würden sagen, dass von der ersten Tag, you know, wie Menschen leben gut. Dinge im Willen schaffen fein. Aber das ist, wo Hiob wäre. Und Hiob hatte, oder Satan hatte Gott gesagt, jo, du jährst ihm alles, und dann bleibt er dir treu. Und dann sagt Gott, dann prüft er mal anders. Und wir lesen auch in 5. Mose, Kapitel 6, Vers 5. Ihr sollen dem Herrn, jünen Gott, mit jünen ganzes Hort Gott sein, und mit jünen ganzes Seil, und auch mit all jünen Kraft. Und wir wissen, dass der Chef sagt uns, dass hier haben wir einen abreichen Mann, und haben wir einer seiner Worte, sondern was Gott fürchten wird. Und wir wissen, dass wenn ein Mensch Gott fürchten wird, dann tickt er nur Gott aus einer seiner Worte, was boven ist über alles. Und dort, wo wir denken, dort ist erstmal ein sehr kleiner Port von was Gott ist. Und mit dort, dann wird wir wohl nötig, dass wir uns machen, Gott ganz Hand geben. Der Schrift sagt auch zu uns, dass alle Menschen sind die Bühren mit einer sinnigen Natur. Und dann wird wir auch dadurch, was wir auch dort, wo wichtig das erst für uns, uns selbst denken zu helfen, waren wir mit Gott in Wut, was er uns sehen wird, und dann mit derselben Wut, wo wir uns mit darum merken, dass wir uns damit auch prüfen dürfen. Der Apostel Paulus, der bekannt in Römer Kapitel 7, Vers 15, er kann mich selbst nicht verstehen, weil ich tue nicht, was ich tun will, aber der Grund dort, was mir jenen ist. Und ich glaube, ich kann alle verstehen, was der Apostel Paulus hier sehen wird. You know, wir haben einen großen Kampf in uns Bern. Was uns gut wirken will, merken vielleicht Dinge sein oder Dinge tun, was wir eigentlich selbst nicht würden wollen. Das ist so leicht, dass wir würden wollen streiten von uns selbst, wo wir versuchen, unsere eigene Sicht zu nehmen und wann uns und dort, wo uns erstet, uns erstes sein, soll immer sein, den Gott oder Gott zu verherrlichen. Dort ist bloß leicht, einzugeben zu sein. Dort, wo er ordentlich ist, dort, wo nicht reicht ist. Wir lesen noch in Psalm 46, Vers 10, sieht schnell und seid an, dort ich Gott sehe. Ich war manche Fälte geirrt worden, ich war abgeirrt, anerkannt haben, der Herr, der alles regiert, ist mit uns. Man niemals vergessen, dass wenn wir still sind und wissen, dass Gott ist mit uns und mag uns, dann bedeutet das eigentlich gleich, was die ankommen, oder die Surroundings oder Circumstances bei uns sind. Aber wenn wir wollen, still sind vor Gott, wenn wir in, wir können sagen, wo wenn wir wollen, geprüft worden, und wenn wir wollen, still holen, und weiten, dass Gott ist Gott. Und wo wir anwollen, was Gott uns sehen wird, und was er uns wiesen wird. Ich habe nicht alle Amateur weg, aber das kommt. Und dann wollen wir nur das Trick kicken. Und einmal lebe ich erst nicht uns, aber erst eben andere, was dort vielleicht gesehen haben oder davon gehört haben. Dann wollen sie schon sehen, wo Gott herrlich ist. Dort Gott erst nicht einer, was er schlopfen wird, lebe er als Wacker. Und er arbeitet in der Arbeit, was er viel höher ist als unsere eine Weisheit. Und der ist auch eine Wahrheit, dass Gott will alle von uns in der Fall, ja, er will Hand auf wie sollen die Wahrheit, diese Wahrheit brücken, dass wir uns ab am Floten nehmen. Wir wissen, dass Gott, der fragt nicht in der Menschheit, oder sind in Notfall, ja, dass sie sollen ihr Leben an ihr Einheit. Oder an ihr eine Kraft. Gott will mit uns sein, er will uns leiden. So wir können sein, wo Gott will haben, dass wir sollen uns hingeben, oder dass wir sollen uns so regieren, dass wir wollen uns Zeit geben, still zu sein. Anholen. You know, so wenn man das something ankommen hat, dann, you know, was muss ich nun tun? Und ich glaube, wenn ich mir die Ratze go auf die Hand, oder was Gott uns sagt, ist, lobt uns mit nun, jaff und tiet, zum Denken, Gott im Gebet. Und jaff zu Gott. Der Apostel Petrus, der Schrift auch in 1. Petrus, Kapitel 4, Vers 7, schmied alle jene Sorgen ab, er sorgt für jene. So we can sein, wo Gott will uns helfen, mit was immer uns Leben, oder was uns Leben gewählt ist, oder gewählt ist für uns Leben, uns zu geben. Der Herr hat versprochen, uns zu helfen, wenn wir wohnen am Noten. Wir wissen, dass Gott in Sinn, uns zu helfen, den Mensch zu wohnen, was er geplant hat für uns. Wir wissen, dass Gott hat einen Plan für uns alle. Und das ist Gott in Sinn, uns zu helfen, dass wir was durchkommen können. Und das ist so leicht zu denken, dass wir fangen uns fürchten, oder wir fühlen, dass wir allein sind, wenn wir seine Hilfe, wenn wir seine Hilfe bedürftig sind. Aber ob wir aus seinen Kindern, wir können immer weiten, dass er ist da. Wir lesen in Matthäus Kapitel 11, Vers 28 bis 30. Kommt alle nur mir, der je ohne schwere Lasten gehen und bedrückt und müde sind, und ich will euch Ruhe geben. Leicht und mein Joch ab und lehrt von mir, will ich sie sanftmütig und von Horten demütig, und je wollen Ruhe fingen für jene Seelen, will mein Joch dreckt nicht und meine Last erst leicht. So, Jesus, sage ich hier so viel, dass wir sollen uns Hand geben zu ihm. Will er will uns abheben und er will uns wachsen mit seiner Weisheit. Gott ist immer auf Arbeit, wo er uns will lernen und wenn Jesus ähnlich erklären wird, als eine Freude und eine Starkheit zu uns, zu dem Mensch, was er uns ist. Wir wollen noch wissen, dass das Kampf im Leben, der wird mit uns sein, aber wir wollen uns zufangen mit Jesus in seine ewige Heimat. Wir wollen noch bemerken, dass für Jesus leben, es vielleicht gleich zu viel ans Hand geben zu uns selbst, oder wir geben ans Hand zu Gott, aus den Wohnungen. Der Apostel Paulus schreibt in Galater Kapitel 2, Vers 20, ich sehe mit Christus, mit dich Rücksicht, dort ist eigentlich nicht mehr ich, der da lebt, dort ist Christus, der in mir lebt. Dort leben, dort ich hier im Fleisch lebe, lebe ich im Glauben an Gott den Sehen, der mir Gott wird und sich selbst für mich hingeht. So, als wir dann wohnen, oder gehen wieder in unser Leben und Christus nur folgen, dann not wir endlich Jesus Christus in uns zu leben und auch durch uns zu leben. Wir leben, dass Gott ist above alles, er ist sovereign. Und so dann, wenn wir Jesus kreieren dann in uns leben, dann wollen wir auch noch am Herzen. Wir wollen seine Zeugen sein und er wird durch uns arbeiten, sodass andere auch können helfen wollen, Kraft zu Gott. Wir lesen in 2. Korinther 4, Vers 17, durch ein, wenn wir in Christus ist, dann ist er ein neuer Mensch. Dort wird er vorher wir erst nicht mehr, er ist nie, wird nie geworden. Wenn wir in Christus sind, dann sind wir frisch geboren, wahr geboren. Wir haben bekannt, dass wir über uns selbst eine unreine Mensch sind. Wir sind nicht rein. Wir sind verloren, uns fehlt Hoffnung, uns fehlt die Vergebung, die Sünde. Und dann dort mit der Hilfe von den Heiligen Geist, die wat in ons wonen deed, in alle frische burnen mensen en wonen deed, en met die hulp, dan hebben ze wie echt in eeuwig gaan tot een nieuw leven, een nieuw opvang. En wanneer dit passiert is in ons leven, dan kan we niet meer mal, of we kan niet meer dat zijn wat we mal gewaast werden. Het is niet dat we niet voor veel merken, maar wanneer we voor veel merken, dan worden we zoals de koning David, dan worden we dingen raak merken. En dan nu we dan naar ons tweede poort gaan doen, revieren gaan in deze schriftlezing. Dan willen we nog God danken voor het woord wat hij ons gegeven heeft. Dat woord wat ons helpen deed dit leven door te gaan, zodat we gaan, dat we gaan boven woorden blijven. Brukken niet gewoon gaan. En dat we gaan met de apostel Paulus met zijn, want hij zegt, ik heb een gouden kamp gekampt. Zo met dat, voor dit wat ik ken, we hebben ons handleggen en God danken voor dat wat hij ons voor ons gedaan heeft. In Jesu Namen. Amen.
Let's take our red hymnals again and turn to page 36. To thee, Lord, my praises be. Page 36. Let's stand, please.
To thee, Lord, my praises be, as in dust I bend the knee, as in humbleness I bend the knee. None to thee can e'er compare, Lord, accept my thankful prayer, Lord, accept my for me, the ransom price has paid. I give thee but thine own, based by faith and thee alone. Grant me ears sincere in mind, that in thee my all I find.
Thank you for that song. Find that the songs that we're singing today, that you know, they go so well with when you minister to people that have a need, that are looking for help. You know, sometimes we want God to physically help us, and yet it seems that often he helps us the most when he helps us spiritually, when he helps us to work a mind that finds peace, that is able to find peace. You know, as people of in Christ, who are we accountable to? Is it to our Lord Jesus Christ always, or is it to the world? Who is it that will justify us? And the only way to win this battle of sin is to die to self, so that Christ is able to live through us, and Jesus will live through us when we will surrender ourselves to the power and wisdom that is found in Jesus' love. You ever think about, you know, the power and wisdom that is in the love of Jesus? You know, I would encourage all of you to try that. It is a huge gift. It's amazing the things that God allows you to know. Sometimes it's not just learning. Sometimes it's just reminding. You know, we of ourselves, within our own goodness, do not have the wisdom and power to do what pleases God. Even the good things that we do in our own strength, they make us prideful and dishonoring to God, as we read in Isaiah 64, verse 6. But we are all as unclean things, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. So it is impossible to please God apart from God. We also read that in Hebrews 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So why is faith so necessary to please God? Why is faith necessary for us to be able to hear God, to be faithful to him, and follow him? Why? You know, we cannot serve God unless we believe that God is God and that his plan for us is good, acceptable, and perfect. We must trust the Lord that we can walk where he wants us to walk, even if we don't, or even if we won't always understand. And so I want to read from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 to chapter 2, verse 3. As we do so, we want to think about to whom he is writing, and I think we've talked about that. He is writing to persecuted believers. But we know that today, those people, they have passed on. And today, he is speaking to the church. And how these verses are applicable to us today. So 1 Peter 1, starting at verse 22. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and all hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, to desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. So the Apostle Peter knows that the people that he's writing to here at the present, or at that present time, they're hurting. But he also knows that if they are to persevere, and if they are to continue to witness a Jesus life, the people will need to remember who God is. And also remember that this same God that rescued them, and that has rescued us, is still on that same, we might say, that same work schedule. In Luke 19, verse 10, we read, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." And so Jesus, even today, he is saying, "Follow me." The very same that he said to his apostles when he was summoning them to follow him. And as God has been faithful up until now, we know that he will continue to be faithful till the very end. We also need to remember that God's purpose must be good, because it's something he has promised. His purpose must be good. It's like we read in Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to them that love him. Something that God has promised. Something that we can rely on. We can base our walk on it. All things work together for good to those that love him. When God has made a promise, then God also obligates himself to keep that promise. We won't always understand, but God is still in absolute control. We read in Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9, where God says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher, or my ways, my thoughts higher than your thoughts and my way and your ways. You know, God does not need for us to always understand his will, but he wants us to always obey his will, though. We could go back to the example of Job. Job didn't understand really what was happening. Yeah, he knew that he was suffering. He knew that he needed to stay true to God. But he did not know what was happening behind the scenes. You know, God's wisdom and his perspective are far greater than our own will ever be able to be. You know, sometimes I think when we say that God is all-knowing, he's all-seeing, God is sovereign, God is in total control, you know, it's easy to say it. It's easy to say that we believe it. Do we take it along in our walk of life that we will never forget? Even when we go through life and life is difficult, God is still in absolute control. Sometimes it looks like people are going to win. They're not. The end will be God's way. God will be exalted. So we need to rely on the promises that he has given us. Jesus, as the Son of God, is completely true. He is not able to make a false move. We can trust to lean on all of his promises, and that applies to each and every one of us. No one is more privileged than the other. As believers in Christ, We are one family. We have love because we belong to God. By nature, we are people that think too much of ourselves. But as obedient children of God who have taken on humility, we see this humility trait as something that Scripture wants us to put away because it's something that will hurt us. Or this trait of thinking too much of ourselves, it's going to hurt us. It hurts people. And in the end, it hurts us as well. Romans 5, verse 5 talks about the love that is given to us by the Holy Spirit. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. You know, when we were born again and the Holy Spirit moved into our hearts, God purified our soul and poured his love into our heart. Each one of us that have been born again, God has poured his love into us. As God's people, we all have the same love. And that one source is the Holy Spirit. God's love must come from a clean heart, a heart that wants to share and build, not a heart that is concerned only about oneself. True love does not take advantage of another. We show love to others when we treat them the same way God treats us. As God forgives us, we forgive others. And as God is kind to us, we are kind one to another. In 1 John 4, verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, you ought also to love one another. And this is something that we cannot do in our own power. But if we believe and follow his will, the Lord will be able to use us to show his love to others. We serve the Lord because we are thankful for what he has done for us. A person who thinks too much of himself cannot truly love. You know, I found it interesting to note here in our scripture reading when we read, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. You know, we have a common love. There is one Redeemer, one truth, one Holy Spirit, and it generates unto a genuine love of the brethren. It's one of the onenesses that we have in Christ. And another oneness that we have in Christ is our second birth. Our first birth is from our parents. It is a birth that will eventually die. It is like a flower. You know, there's a time when it looks graceful, and yet when the time is there, it'll dry up and it'll fall away and it's gone. But the second birth is the same from one believer to the next. And it happens through our faith in Jesus Christ. As we read in verses 23 and 25 of our scripture text this morning. The imperishable seed, the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. And then, of course, the Holy Spirit, which we find in verse 22. We read in John chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus said to Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then when Nicodemus questions it, then Jesus says further in verses 5 and 6, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. The Gospel of John here makes a very clear distinction here between our first birth and the second birth. The new birth is a spiritual experience between us and the sovereign God. God the Father called us. Jesus Christ died on the cross to provide forgiveness for our sin, and the Holy Spirit indwells us to guide our way in Christ. We are born again when we accept that it is Jesus Christ alone who is able to free us from our sin, and with that accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. He is our Savior, but he also wants to be our Lord. And the Apostle Paul also testifies in Acts 4, verse 12, "Neither is there salvation in any other." He's talking about Jesus. "For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." So there's only one Jesus, one who is able to redeem us. All who have been born again have done so through the Word of God and through the working of the Holy Spirit. You know, when we will try to work together as a church, and I think we can even say as believers in Christ, but if we will do it through our first birth, we're going to fail. But if we will work together as a church by way of our second birth, we will succeed. Another oneness that we share as God's children is that we are all indwelt by the same Holy Spirit. We have the same Holy Spirit teaching and guiding us. There is only one Holy Spirit of God. Yes, we have to remember that we all have been given our gifts. And even though they differ one from another, they all have one common goal, and that is to glorify God. When Jesus talked about the Holy Spirit, he says to us in John 14:26, "He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." You know, this comment Jesus made of the Holy Spirit. So he's saying that the Holy Spirit will teach you everything that I've told you. And then when Jesus talks about his work, he says in John 8, verse 38, "Everything that I speak, I have seen with my Father." So we see that from God the Father to God the Son to God the Holy Spirit, they all have one source. There is no difference. So as believers in Christ, we have the same Holy Spirit indwelling each of us, admonishing us and conforming us and working to conform us into the image of Jesus Christ. Another oneness that we have, we all call on the same Father, who will be to everyone someone who makes no mistake. And then the last on my list, where we as children of God share oneness, is the one Word of God. It's our Bible. 1 Peter 2, verse 2. When we are born again, we become like spiritual newborn babes. And just as a physically healthy newborn has a yearning to grow, so will also a healthy born again babe have a yearning to grow as well. You know how sad it is when some people have no desire to grow spiritually. They have been baptized upon their confession of faith. They have promised their life to Christ. And if anyone would like to argue this, all you need to do is go back to the promises or to the answers that you answered when you were baptized, just before you were baptized. And it's sad when our confession of Christ means so little. And yet we all know how important that confession is. How important it is to have Jesus Christ in our life. We know that milk is unnatural for a baby if it is to grow. And so it is also when we have been born again. We should have a craving for the Word of God. We should not be pushing aside the nudge of the Holy Spirit that is within us. And as we continue likening our physical well-being to our spiritual well-being, we know that to our, if we talk about food, or we talk about our main meals, if we snack too much in between, then our appetite for the main meal goes away. So if our spiritual life is lacking energy, has our rightful desire been pushed aside for time and wants that do not nurture our spiritual well-being? God's word is life, love, grace, mercy, and the list is much longer. That's what God's word is. But we also know that God's word nourishes all those appetites as well. These are all gifts that we are able to have through our triune God. And these are the gifts that will dispel character traits like malice, gall, hypocrisies, envies, and all evil speaking. You know, when we practice these, we are not communing with God the Father or His love. Neither are we communing with His Word or the cross or the Holy Spirit. You know, these practices of evil speaking, they have nothing in common with love and forgiveness or even grace. And also they do not nurture and grow our spiritual life. When we practice these, like malice and evil speaking, hypocrisies, then our focus is on ourselves, and we are following our first nature, and not our born again nature, where all things have become new. Evil works spoils the appetite for the pure word of God. When faithful people in Christ are growing in God's word, they are in God's will and are working in love in where is might and wisdom. So as we have the Apostle Peter reminding his audience then and us today, they are to think of all that God, that has been given, or that all the things that God has given to them. We know that one of the things that we read in 1 Peter, I think it's verse 4, is an inheritance. It's undefiled. And as we went through today, things like love. We have access to the Father. We have His love. We have the Holy Spirit. The same word of God. And the Apostle Peter also knows how important it is that these virtues example every follower of Christ. You know, our adversaries and the adversaries that the people had then, they need to see this kind of walk and the power of love that exudes from it. The Apostle Peter knows that there can be no words spoken or sermons preached that will be more powerful than a solidified walk in Christ Jesus alone. We read in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 2. That's where the Apostle Paul, he talks, and they're talking there about who are they going to accept. And he says, "You are our epistle, written in our hearts, unknown and read of all men." God's words or sermons are no substitute for the lives that we live. But as they see Christ in our behavior, opportunity will avail itself to share the gospel. Jesus also allowed it to be that way with his teaching when he said in John 8, 28, John then said Jesus to his adversaries, "When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things." You know, I'm always amazed, you know, how Jesus, you know, he will not take anyone without them knowing. And even though these people had seen so much of him, he says, I will overlook, but when you see the Son of Man being put on the cross, then there will be no more excuse. You know, it is so easy to blame someone or blame the injustices that we have around us. But the Apostle Peter is telling his audience, he's telling us today, that that is not going to cut it. You know, we are all responsible for ourselves. But what will make the difference is our relationship with God, a relationship that He alone is able to make possible. So with that, let's close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you at the end of the service. We want to thank you for, we want to again thank you for the word that you have given us, the word that is able to indwell us, the word that is able to teach us, make us strong, the word that is able to heal us. And Lord God, we just pray for one another that together we will nurture the word that you have given each one of us. Lord, we know that the Bible is available today for each and every one of us to be able to have. And so we ask, Lord, that we will surrender ourselves to you and use the word, knowing that through it you will lead us and you will make us strong. And again, Lord God, we just want to thank you for this opportunity this morning. We thank you for each one that's come. May you bless each one. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And then I have one acceptance of a new member. Please accept as a member in the Sommerfeld Mennonite Church, Heinrich Wiebe. He is of Box 112, Plum Coulee, and who has been recommended for acceptance by Bishop Ken Funk and Reverend Abe Hebner. So I will ask Henry to please stand. Yeah, with that, for all those who are able, let us kneel in prayer. The Lord hear all our fervent, faithful prayers.
From the Blue Book, number 148, Great is Thy Faithfulness.
No shadow of turning with thee.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Just a reminder that next Sunday there's a potluck fellowship lunch in the dining hall. It'll be after the 10:30 service, and everyone is most welcome to come. And also, we are still in need of a few song leaders for this service. So if you know of anyone that would be good for that position, you can come talk to me or the other song leaders. And with that, I'd like to thank these gentlemen for coming and helping us out this morning. It's much appreciated.
So in closing, thank you all for coming. May we bow for the benediction. Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Thank you. You're now dismissed.